So I'd like to start by acknowledging my co-authors and study partners. The study partners aren't listed here, but were really instrumental in conceptualizing and conducting the overall evaluation of Oregon's patient-centered primary care home program. I'd also like to thank APHA, and note that this research was funded by the Oregon Health Authority, but we have nothing else to disclose. The presentation goals here are really to describe the strategies, best practices, and challenges in implementing the primary care the patient-centered primary care program, PCPCH program, as a program as well as a model of care. These are interesting because they are distinct but obviously somewhat related levels. So many or all of the factors that were related to implementation that we note are identified and operate at both levels, sometimes making it a challenge to actually separate the implementation science elements. Characteristics of the PCMH model and actually of the patient-centered primary care program are noted here. It's really a model of enhanced primary care that encourages coordination, patient-centered care, integration of public health services, and innovative methods for improving population health. All of these, of course, are noted as critical elements of health system reform. So in addition, the model's emphasis on patient-physician relationships, comprehensive care oriented to the whole person, team-based coordination, payment reform, all really show promise for reforming healthcare by changing how care is organized and delivered. So for all of these reasons, the PCMH model, right, was adopted as a foundational component of Oregon's health system transformation. Of course, cost savings and state budgetary constraints were also provided a motivating factor for the adoption of the program. Just a little bit of brief history. The development of this program was several years in the making. The Oregon Health Authority worked with a wide variety of stakeholders and health advocates in order to craft the patient-centered primary care home program, the model, the legislation, and its implementation. So a couple of steps in that. So Health Bill 2009 really set the stage for health system reform. It established a health insurance exchange, the PCPCH program, and overall system transformation. A widely stated goal for that was really to create access to patient-centered, high-quality care and to reduce costs by supporting practice transformation. Following that, House Bill 3650 really created the CCOs, followed the following year with the actual transformation bill that provided much more detail about how the CCO concept would work. I want to take just a minute to talk about Oregon's CCOs. So a CCO is a coordinated care organization, pretty similar, as you might guess, to an accountable care organization in the ACA. So this model replaced Oregon's Medicaid managed care system. It created a couple of key changes. First, local accountability for health and resource allocation, governance. Each CCO is governed by a partnership among healthcare providers, community members, and stakeholders in the health systems that accept financial risk and responsibility. And finally, each CCO has to convene a community advisory council composed primarily of members. All of this is tied, of course, to a global budget that's indexed to sustainable growth. So I mention all of this because the CCOs use the PCH model as the basis for primary care delivery. And in fact, that model is mentioned or is included specifically in the CCO enabling legislation. So finally, OHA developed standards for certification, and they are now responsible for program implementation and operational oversight. To date, over 450 patient-centered primary care home practices have been certified, and that was really in the first 2 years. And consistent with those program goals, the consistency between the CCO and the PCH, were the note that all OHA-covered lives receive care through a primary care home, that 75% of Oregons, right, have access to a primary care home by 2015, and the intent to actually spread this payer model to other payers within Oregon's health system delivery. So a couple of assessment goals here. The evaluation is based on the goals that you see noted here, and really note that a comprehensive evaluation can help to identify and explore factors that succeed or or facilitate the successful development and implementation of the model. Again, this is the note in the difference between implementing the model as public policy relative to implementing the model in the health system, in health system delivery. So the program oversight included a comprehensive evaluation of the program conducted, as I mentioned earlier, by a multidisciplinary team of system researchers. So Dr. Gemmell-Nashley will present some additional elements of the four-part evaluation protocol, but that involved surveys, site visits that were not actually part of the research protocol, but were conducted under the regulatory auspices of the Oregon Health Authority, ongoing analysis of administrative utilization and cost data, and then the interview document analysis. So a lot of the interview document analysis and survey really evaluated formative elements of the program, and oftentimes we think this serves as a complement to research about the primary care model, which has tended to focus on the utilization and costs, but less likely to step back and say, gee, what system infrastructure, what policy levers were utilized in order to create that infrastructure change and achieve those cost, utilization, and health status outcomes. So a key element of this research and this evaluation was that goal. So developed by Dan Schroeder et al., the framework that we used was this Consolidated Framework for Implementation Research, CFIR, that includes five different elements, characteristics of the model, such as the perceived source or motivation for adopting it, the quality of the evidence supporting it, relative advantage over other models, the degree of adaptability and complexity of the intervention itself, in this case the model, and the cost associated with its implementation. Other elements include the external and internal environment, so the extent to which the need for change, resources to support the change are known and identified, the degree to which agencies and other external organizations are connected, and the degree to which stakeholders actually feel pressure or are otherwise incentivized to adopt it. Internal environment, fairly self-explanatory, really relates to the capacity and capabilities of the government, in this case Oregon Health Authority, to implement the program. Its degree of compatibility with other organizational goals and values, communication processes and structures. Not surprisingly, the characteristics and roles of individuals are part of the framework. And in this case, the notion of visible leadership, champions, power and influence all really come into play here. And then finally, the final element of the framework is the process itself. So the degree to which appropriate stakeholders are identified and engaged during the process of the conceptualization of the program, its passage in legislation, its initial implementation through the development of standards, metrics, and adoption by primary care providers. So, key themes that were identified through this primarily qualitative research, which in a nutshell involved review of numerous documents, all of the enabling legislation, rules and regs, as well as Oregon Health Authority documents, the development of standards and metrics, as well as 23, I think it ended up being, key informant interviews with stakeholders. And again, this is where this notion of implementation of the program versus implementation of the model gets a little bit blurred. Obviously, those stakeholders in the program were stakeholders because of their involvement or interest in implementing the model. So we'll try to keep the focus here on implementation of the program as public policy. Forgive me if it bleeds over a little bit into implementation of the model. It's very difficult to keep those inseparable. So one of the main things that we noted was that support for the medical home was strongly based on the perception of the model as the right thing to do. So individuals' beliefs about the benefits attributed to it, perceptions about the strength and quality of evidence to support it, actually vacillated between some cautious optimism and full acceptance. So the people we spoke with, who represented a range of perspectives, really distinguished between the moral value of this notion of it's the right thing to do to improve the quality of care, and the rational or economic value placed on the model and a belief in its efficacy for achieving cost savings and being more transformational. A lot of these elements were frequently associated with the triple aim, which I'm sure most of you are, if not everybody's, familiar with, suggesting that the consistent references to the triple aim were foundational. And in this case, when we talk about this, it really highlighted the interest not just of the elements of the triple aim, but that its prominence in Oregon's transformation really helped to create this notion of common interests, shared goals, a common vision for transformation that really went beyond the individual beliefs about the efficacy of the model itself. And what's interesting about this is the time frame, remember when this was happening, was 2008 for the initial conceptualization, 2009 for the initial legislation, and 2010 and 2011 for actual development of the standards and implementation of the program. And so when you think back to the 2007-2008 time frame, a lot of the early evidence, research-based evidence and coming out through publication, peer-reviewed publication, was a little bit equivocal. And so it was quite interesting that a lot of people we spoke with did not necessarily go to research-based evidence to the efficacy, but really this notion of the model as being the right thing to do. So following further, we'll quote here. So moving beyond that, digging a little deeper into this question of this notion of this common vision, right, and this shared interest and shared goals, was we noted at the center of a lot of the narratives regarding the identifying characteristics of the primary care home, and evidence for it was the experience of a small group of very key stakeholders who participated in a site visit to a highly developed and successful medical home program. So the centrality of that experience in shaping the program, again, wasn't premised upon the environment or the success of that program per se, but again, on this notion of this common vision and commitment that was created among this very core group of stakeholders, many of whom would be instrumental in the development of the program itself. Again, a couple of quotes there, going back to the triple aim, which was noted by almost everybody we spoke with, related some element of their support for the model back to the triple aim specifically. And again, this notion of this common experience among a cadre of somewhat powerful or influential stakeholders. So the framework also directed our attention to what was happening in the broader health policy environment, namely Oregon's other health system transformation efforts. So for example, the Section 2703 health home payments under the Affordable Care Act and external grant money served as an impetus for participation and really facilitated implementation of the model. Almost every key informant, again, noted that the motivation was tied to CCO implementation. So with the primary care home program formally recognized in the law as foundational to CCOs, a lot of primary care practices saw adoption of the model as requisite for ongoing participation in the larger health system. Again, if your notion is that everybody will be covered through all Oregon Health Authority members, so all Medicaid, public employees, others would be covered through this CCO model, and foundational to the CCO model was this requirement for a percentage of people to have access to or receive care through a primary care home, obviously would incentivize the adoption of the model by those primary care homes and would be facilitated by the CCOs. So in many ways, the CCO and other health care transformation efforts served as fuel for the PCH program. But respondents also noted that there was difficulty in balancing the goals of the primary care home, the long-term health status improvement, with the short-term needs of CCOs to focus really on reducing very high-cost expenditures, primarily emergency department utilization. And so there existed a little bit of a tension where you had this competition for administrative attention and resources implementing a primary care home program at the same time you're implementing this huge CCO that really changes, it replaces the entire Medicaid managed care model, as well as this tension between the short-term and long-term needs of chronic care management versus realizing more short-term savings. Some of that, again, driven by some of the financial incentives that accompany the program, namely Oregon's deal with CMS to achieve a certain level of savings within a fairly short time period. So agency leadership and collegial relationships among the stakeholders also facilitated development, not surprisingly. We selected our key informants fairly purposefully, but were still taken by the degree to which people were known to and connected with each other. The governor and Oregon Health Authority leadership really emphasized the program as foundational to larger system transformation, and that strong leadership and the connections and the pre-existing relationships were really key through the development of the concept, legislation, and the exploration of the model. Several of the people that we spoke with noted that the Oregon Health Authority has actually been able to leverage those relationships among key stakeholders at times in order to keep the program moving along toward implementation, particularly when the coordination and the financial incentives and administrative burdens proved somewhat challenging. So I mentioned a little bit earlier, the administrative and cost burdens. So this isn't to say, despite the strong support, bipartisan support, the legislation was passed when Oregon's legislature was actually had an exact 50-50 split, and every committee was co-chaired by a Republican and Democrat. Speaks a little bit to the cooperative nature and the culture of the state. But this is not to say that everybody always thought that everything was great. There have been and continue to be some challenges. Not surprisingly, resource constraints were probably the main challenge to implementation of the program. So while most people believe that the long-term savings would eventually provide a return on the short-term costs, many believe that the resources needed for implementation had been significantly underestimated. A lot of questions about the capacity of small and rural clinics to successfully adopt the model, the limited duration of the enhanced payments under Section 2703 of the ACA, other changing reimbursement models and amounts associated with the implementation of the coordinated care organizations. These were all noted as substantial challenges, particularly for these small and rural clinics. It was interesting that some of our other findings indicated that whereas large systems that had substantial administrative resources actually had a little bit more of a challenge with the transformational change. They had adequate resources, but changing the culture at the care delivery at the model level was difficult relative to smaller or medium-sized practices for whom changing the culture and the delivery model was easier, but they lacked the other administrative resources to deal with the data collection, data reporting, implementation of EHRs at a time when they were also having to deal with implementation of the CCOs, meaningful use, other requirements that, again, were external to or a challenge to the implementation of the model itself. So a couple of just kind of concluding thoughts. When we boil it down, some of these are not particularly surprising, right? Leadership matters. So the vision, clearly Oregon is nothing if not somewhat visionary when it comes to health system infrastructure and transformation. That being said, the need for champions for the program itself was really critical. There was this concurrent CCO implementation was a bit of a mixed blessing. So while it drove support for implementing the model and thus the implementation of the program, it also distracted, right? It drew resources away, and as you can imagine, the CCO implementation is a much larger undertaking than implementation of a single, more focused programmatic model. So another thing was the resource adequacy, the program staffing of the PCPCH program. Staff were noted roundly as being committed and having extensive knowledge. That being said, there were transitions among staff, and the staff itself was quite small, two or three people to implement the program. So that meant that their work in facilitating over 75 community focus group and meetings to develop standards and measures, to develop the concept over this 2-year period, in order to address the administrative burden for clinics and people, the stakeholders who are involved with that, required a lot of on-the-ground work and a lot of background work. You can't, you know, they couldn't call 25 or 35 or 40 or more people to a meeting without having things really well organized. And so with the small staff and resource constraints, that was a challenge for implementation of the program. So in addition, the ability to leverage and provide financial incentives as an element of resource adequacy. So the financial incentives among would-be adopters, and to structure that at the program level and through policy was really key. So Oregon was really helped in its efforts by the availability of funding. On the other hand, sometimes funding became a challenge because it creates this notion of we can and should do more because we have the funding, but that takes time, and it sometimes might actually decrease a little bit of the creativity and the collegiality of working together because they do have the resources for external payments. And then finally, last two areas, that the early process matters. Community engagement, again, was a mixed blessing. Ultimately, we result in better policy, but it takes more time and creates a greater administrative burden. We also have this balance between stability and flexibility during implementation of the standards and of the metrics. And then finally, we found that really context matters, that the current system transformation, we noted the CCOs, the health insurance exchanges, meaningful use of EHRs, were really challenges to implementing the program. And organizational learning in particular, the complexity and nuance of the situational context. Oregon is a little bit unique. Its timing, the state's culture, and the policy starting point, if you would, for Oregon, were relatively unique. So along with the government and system capacity to manage change, a lot of these factors and the situational factors need to be carefully considered as the organization learns how to really transform and deliver care differently. So more information. Thank you.